on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck up bowl, fuck up stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Just a no. Headshot, case closed.
What is up, guys? It's Andy Frisella, and this is the show for the realists. Say goodbye to the lies, the fakeness, and delusions of modern society, and welcome to motherfucking reality, guys. Today we have Q and AF. That's where you submit the questions, and we give you the answers. You can submit your questions a few different ways. The first way is...
Guys, you can email those questions into AskAndy at AndyFrisella.com.
Or you can go on YouTube on the Q&AF episodes and drop your question there in the comments as well. I'm going to skip the entire intro because you already know what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, what's going on with you?
Oh, not much, you know, just doing the damn thing.
I think I'm going to marry her.
Yeah, hey, listen.
Bro, I'm still laughing about that.
Yeah, fucking those guys, man. There's a special place for those guys. I think those guys are necessary in society.
Bro, $30 to get slapped in the face?
Yeah, that's a reach. That's a reach.
They're still talking about it because we're talking about it.
It's like the guys that fall in love with the girls at Hooters.
Yeah.
With the waitresses.
Like Butters on South Park?
Yeah, exactly. No different.
Yeah.
No different. Yeah. Yeah, man. What's going on with you? Anything new?
No,
yeah. Just
enjoying the weather. Weather's nice.
It is starting to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, training hard.
Yeah,
you know, getting that
beef special.
Yeah, mm-hmm. had to spend some time putting a little weight back on because that issue I was dealing with my stomach. You know, I've fucking lost all my muscles, so I had been focused on putting that back on. Feeling good.
Yeah, looking good.
I mean, I look good at whatever weight. Let's be fucking real.
Well, let's get into it, man. I got some good ones for you.
All right, good.
Let's dive into these. Guys, Andy, question number one. Hey, Andy. I love hearing your stories about 75 Heart. Can you please share one of your favorite high moments from 75 Heart or the Live Heart program? And can you share one of your lowest moments on the program? This question is meant to be up for interpretation. Seriously, loving 75 Heart and pushing myself when I don't think I can anymore. Just want to hear your insights. Highest and lowest moments on the Live Heart program you've had.
I couldn't say one or two moments like that. That would be impossible because the entire program, the way it's built, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. And the whole point is to move through those times mm-hmm. and not let those times affect you.
Good or bad. You're saying
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because, dude, listen, and there's a lesson in that, mm-hmm. right? When times are good, people get comfortable. And when they get comfortable, they don't execute to the same level of detail that they do when they're hungry or when things are bad. Yeah. When things are bad, they're frustrated. So they don't execute to the level that they need to execute at because they don't feel like it. So becoming successful in life is about learning how to execute regardless of what's going on around you. And if you want an example of the program or inside the program that teaches you this,
yeah.
it would be like the outdoor cardio part, right? Like it doesn't matter if it's snowing or the wind's blowing or it's raining or it's 0 degrees outside. You got to go outside and do it and execute. It also doesn't matter if it's a beautiful day and all your friends called you to go out and day drink on the patio and, you know, chill out. And navigating through the highs and lows is the most important part. So, you know, for me, I've had many lows and many highs, just like everybody else who's done the program. Yeah. It's no different for me. You know, I think a lot of people think that I have it all figured out when it comes to, you know, the discipline aspect. But the truth of the matter is the reason I live this lifestyle is because I have to recalibrate just like everybody else. I have to tune up just like everybody else. And, you know, there's people on the internet that make this into some sort of competition like, oh, you know, David Goggins runs 400 miles a fucking day. Cool. That's David Goggins, bro. Like, I'm not trying to be David Goggins. I'm not trying to be Cam Haynes. I'm not trying to compete with you. I'm trying to get myself in the best possible state to execute the plan that I've laid out for my life over the long haul. And so just like you, I have highs, I have lows, and I have to work very hard to move through those highs and lows. We can't control our environment. So what can we control? We can control our actions that we choose to take regardless of what the environment is. And so I wouldn't say, you know, there's one high or one low, or I mean, fuck, bro, there's plenty of lows. There's plenty of highs. That's the point. And we have to execute regardless of what's going on. So I know that's not the answer that you're probably looking for, but that's the right answer. You know, that's the true answer. You know, do I have some memorable moments that were really hard? Yeah, I do. The first time I did the program, the first 25 days, bro, my feet hurt so fucking bad. I thought I was going to fucking die. Okay. I wore the wrong shoes. I learned a big lesson there because my feet got fucked up and they were fucked up for the whole 75 days. That sucked. But guess what? I pushed through it. You know, that one particular time when you and I went out and did it together, you were doing the program too, and it snowed 18 inches.
Yeah.
And it took us 45 minutes to get halfway to what would our normal route would be. And I remember saying to you, I said, well, we could turn around here. And you said, no, we're gonna do the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right,
yeah,
let's go. And we did the whole thing. It took 2 fucking hours, and it was 0 degrees, 18 inches of snow. And now a couple years after, I'm proud of that. I look back at that. I'm like, fuck, dude. Oh, it's raining outside. Who cares? Oh, it's sleeting. So what? Oh, it's 5. Yeah. I've done way worse. And that's the point. The point is, by doing the hard things and overcoming the hard things, you gain the confidence that you can overcome the hard things, and the things that come your way from that point forward are no longer perceived as hard. And this is where people really have to understand how life works. Life is hard. Everything worth doing is hard. There is no easy path. And so many of you spend so much time, so much energy, and get yourself so frustrated searching for the easy way to get what you want, when in reality, if you just accepted everything worthwhile is hard and just stopped beating your head against the wall looking for the easier, quicker, faster, freer way to get where you want, because you're expending so much energy searching for the easy way that it actually makes the path that much harder. So by accepting the path and saying, okay, this is hard as fuck, everything I want to be, everything I want to build, everything I want to do in my life is going to be hard, it makes the path that much easier, because now you know the game that you're playing. You're no longer spending energy looking for this easy way. You're no longer, you know, being disappointed because the easy way didn't work. There is no easy way. And any motherfucker out there that tells you there is full of shit. I would encourage you, anyone that tells you there's some sort of easy way or hack, to really dig into their life and look deep into what they have actually done or built in their life. And I can promise you, if you look deep at those people, they haven't done a motherfucking thing that's worthwhile.
You know, I feel like I've always heard this saying, man, you know, like everything happens for a reason. And it got me on this, you know, this idea when we talk about these highs and lows. You know, I feel like most people, when they're in their lows, they don't realize that that could also, that same low could be a high for you if you choose to look at it the right way.
Well, right? It's a test day, right?
Right. Right. So, and people have that hard time. It's like, well, I mean, fuck, what meaning am I supposed to get? What good is, you know, a death or a sickness, whatever the case is, getting stabbed in the face? Like, there's like, it may be a low moment, right? But there's something there that could be, make that the best thing that ever happened to
you. Well, that's choosing the proper perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I did get stabbed, I spent, like you guys know, a very long time in a very deep, dark, suicidal depression. I was 23 years old. My face was completely fucked up. Everybody in the world saw it. It's not like I got stabbed in my arm and it was covered up or something. Like, it's on my fucking face, dude. What am I going to do? Wear a Kanye mask everywhere?
There was no COVID mask that back
like,
then.
Yeah, right. Like, I couldn't hide from it. So I had an amazing experience, which many of you have heard, that really shifted my perspective, you know, where I ran into a lady who was a burn victim and we had an important conversation, and I tell that story often. And it shifted my perspective, and I started looking for what it was that made that experience helpful to me. In hindsight, when I look back at that, It was a transformative experience in my life. It changed everything. And in the moment, I thought it was the end of my life. Mm. I thought it was the end of hope, the end of dreams. My life was over. And it's a perfect example for what you're talking about. When you're at the low, if you could step back and emotionally disconnect from it and say, okay, what can I get from this? Or how can this serve me? Or what path can I take from here that will help me moving forward? And if you can do that, you will find something. 100%.
Yeah.
It's just very difficult to do in a high emotional state.
Yeah, for sure. But it is a choice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, man. Highs can be lows.
Yeah.
I love that. Guys, Andy, question number two. Andy, thank you for continuing to put out content to help all of us get better. I'm an entrepreneur of almost 10 years and at a 24-year-old small business with 15 people. Throughout my time, I've helped.
Did he say entrepreneur?
Entrepreneur.
Okay.
Okay. Entrepreneur, 10 years in. The company has been in business for 24 years, 15 people working there.
Got it.
Throughout my time, I've helped build systems and processes in each of our departments. We have great people, but feel we're not always on the same page. We see actions that don't always look like winning. So my boss and I are redefining what's important to us and what we expect, detailing culture ingredients and some policies. My thought is that without established consequences for negative actions, for things like being late, there won't be enough motivation to do the right thing for some people. And when we, the managers, have to call out the negative actions, we don't have a policy for repercussions to stand on. What are your thoughts about having some built-in consequences for when people aren't meeting expectations?
Well, look, this is basic human motivation. You have the carrot, which is the positive reinforcement, the reward, the bonus, the recognition, whatever that might be. And then you have the stick. Mm. And the stick is, if you do that again, you're fucking fired. Okay? And both are needed. And people don't like the stick. People today in today's business culture, they like to say, oh, that's so wrong. That's so mean. Well, unfortunately, when you don't have the stick, people abuse the fuck out of you and you give them an inch and they take 100 fucking miles. That is human nature. So you have to have both. However you want to set up both is up to you. And by setting up both and then enforcing it, what will naturally happen is you will figure out places where you're too hard, you will figure out places where you're too soft, and over time of holding that line, you will begin to find exactly where the line is. So my advice to this person would be to, yes, absolutely, reward, recognize, promote the people who are doing their shit, who are great examples for all the employees, who perform at a high level. Those people move forward because that sends a signal to everybody else, this is what you have to be to win here. And then if someone is not doing what they're supposed to do, or they're underperforming, or they're doing grossly negligent shit or immoral shit or consistent problematic shit, those people have to go. And that sends a signal to everybody else, these people will not work out here. So what you do in these two situations sends a signal to everybody else. And that's the more important part than actually the discipline or the reward to the actual individuals doing it. It's what signal does it send to everybody else? Mm. Because if everybody else, and dude, you can, this can fuck you up too if you're running a company. A lot of companies will promote people because they like them. Well, the problem with that is that when people see someone promoted and that person actually isn't performing, that person actually isn't kicking ass or living to that example, then they lose belief in the entire system because they feel like the only way to move forward is to be quote unquote chosen. Mm-hmm. All right. Or a brown noser or an ass kisser. And all of that creates negative culture too. So whatever standards you pick, they have to be for everybody. No matter how much you like or dislike a person, you should be treating them fairly within the boundaries of that standard.
Yeah. Like, dude, I like it, but you're not ready for this position.
Well, yeah. And dude, also, you know, look, man, if someone's causing problems in your company, someone's always late, someone's cancerous, someone's gossiping, someone's underperforming, you have to look at it like this. You are doing that person a very, very, very harsh disservice by keeping them inside of your company knowing that they could maybe go somewhere else and be successful.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you look at it not just from a company standpoint, but also if you truly care about people, you will look at certain people and you will say, this person does not fit here. They will do much better somewhere else, and you will move them along in their career and hopefully part ways in a positive way. So yes, you need both. You have to have the carrot. You have to have the stick, and you have to do both consistently at a standard that is consistent with every single person. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this just because I want to clarify this, because what you're saying is the carrot alone is not enough to keep everything in line.
No, absolutely not.
You cannot just rely on the carrots and think that nobody's going to, fuck off or be lazy. Like, the carrot alone is not enough.
No, if you only have a carrot, bro, what will happen is, so dude, you have to think of these things like this. These are guide rails, okay?
Like gutters on the fucking bowling alley.
Yeah, okay. Right, exactly. Like curbs on the fucking street, bro. Got it. All right? And your goal is to get the people running down the street, all right? And they know if they go too far to the left, they're out of the game. And they know if they go too far to the right, they get to go down the street faster, okay? So when they know where the boundaries are, people generally move in the right direction. The problem that becomes when you only have the carrot is that the disparity amongst your great entrepreneur, kick-ass employees and your very shitty ones that don't do anything becomes greater and greater and greater because there's no boundaries that keep them moving down the path together. So then what happens is you start to get like gangs inside of your building, right? You'll get three or four people over here. You'll get three or four people over here. They fucking hate each other. It causes all kinds of cancer. And now you got a real problem. So yes, you have to have both. It's very important. Every fucking place in the world has rules. We live in this Gen Z society where everybody think like, bro, fucking Gen Z's bringing their goddamn parents to fucking job interviews, bro.
That's wild.
The fuck out of here.
It's wild.
Dude, listen,
let me ask you this.
A lot of these people are fucking delusional, bro. Not only are they delusional that they are not entitled to a career or a job, they're also delusional to the fact of what it takes to actually win. A lot of people think that showing up, clocking in on time, not fucking off, because there's so many people that won't even show up work on time now that people think that that's some sort of win. That's not a win, bro. That's called what you're supposed to do. Like, it's like when people say, well, I fucking pay my bills. I fucking mow my grass. I do all, no shit, really? You're supposed to do that, bro. I don't know who told you different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
Yeah, let me ask you this on the parent thing, because I thought about this. I don't know who I was talking to about this, but do you think that there is potentially a benefit of that? Meaning, like, okay, well, now I get to see what your parents are actually like. Like, you know what I'm saying? I get maybe that little bit of insight into the family home.
If you bring your parents to an interview here, I'm videotaping it and I'm putting it on YouTube and I'm letting the whole world know that you're a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. Yeah, all real talk.
All right.
Don't come here. Yeah. I don't want those people here, bro. I want high performers. I want winners. I get this question all the time. People are like, don't you worry about attracting employees coming to your work the way that you are in your podcast? No, because every motherfucker that comes here knows exactly what they're getting. It's not a fuck around place. We're here to fucking win. We're here to build shit. We're here to do shit. We work really fucking hard. We have a great time. Yeah. But guess what? We're here to fucking win. And if you don't want to win, don't fucking come here.
I love it, man. I love it.
I want to go back to that last question real quick. Okay. But the reason I want to go back is because a lot of you motherfucking business owners, you don't say shit about what you actually believe. Okay. Oh, yeah. And then you attract all these people that believe all this different shit than you. And then you spend your entire life trying to corral those people and get them on the same page as you. If you would just find your fucking balls and say what the fuck you think in public and not apologize for it, those people that cause you 100% of your problems will not apply to work with you. Do you understand? Do you think that a bunch of fucking weirdo, cultural, pronoun, blue hair, fucking communist fucks apply to work with Dana White?
No.
Okay. No. Why? Why not?
Because they know he's the enemy. Why would they want?
Exactly.
How much money does he save by not having to go through that?
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. And it works that way for me too. Yeah. And it will work that way for you too if you would just find some fucking balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. No, that's a, I mean, it makes sense, man. Like, I mean, fuck the amount of money you can save not having to hire.
The time.
The training.
It's not just money. It's time.
Yeah.
Bro, every time you have a cultural disturbance, it costs you weeks and months of time to fucking fix.
Yeah.
Like, it's time. It's, you cannot win with that shit in your organization. And the reason that a lot of you guys have it in your organization is because you're so fucking scared of these people and you want them to be your friend and you want to accommodate them. And you know what? They fucking hate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So say what you think. Be real. Say the truth. Be fair. Set real fair guidelines and run your fucking company.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, guess what? They don't have to buy your shit.
Right.
It's real simple.
Dude, it's very simple. Like, I was thinking about this too, man. It's real simple. Like, you go to a, let's say you go to this little, you know, neighborhood shop and you walk and there's a, they got all the flags on the door.
Yeah.
Are you going to put an application in there?
No.
Probably not. All right. So my business, I'm going to put an American flag right there on their fucking
door.
There you
go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Need not apply.
There you go.
Need not apply.
Stick yourself a 1776 sticker on your front door, bro. It'll solve all your fucking problems.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm going to make that bison sticker for everybody's front door.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's going to mean stay off my fucking lawn.
Need not apply.
That's right. Can you imagine the emails? So what you're saying is you're not going to hire people like me?
Inclusive.
You're not. That's discriminatory. I don't have to hire you. I don't have to fucking hire you.
Especially not here in Missouri.
What skills do you have?
Yeah.
What can you do? I don't give a fuck about your pronouns,
well, I
man.
I have a degree in climatology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fuck off with that degree.
Oh, man.
And you know what I'm saying? You don't have to hire people like me. You're not hireable, bro. You don't have any skills. You cause all kinds of problems. You're gossip. You're drama. You're fucking.
I'm not paying for your surgeries.
Yeah, dude. You're expensive. Yeah. You bitch about everything.
I got to give you maternity leave. You wonder, and paternity
no,
leave.
No. And then you'll wonder why nobody wants you to work with them and then why nobody wants to hang out with you. All you do is bitch.
Yeah. You get Mother's Day and Father's Day off?
Yeah. Fuck, dude. Fuck.
Oh, shit.
Bro.
Oh, man. All
dude. Right. Dude, I don't know where we went off the rails, man.
Yeah,
man, but
I don't know.
Yeah.
Boundaries, guys.
Yeah.
Get back to it.
All right.
Need not apply. Guys, Andy, question number three. Andy, I've been running.
Climatology. Science. That's offensive. You offend me.
Bro, I had a fucking
I brought my mom here for no reason.
Oh my God. All right. Let's go to question three.
Oh man. guys, Andy, question number three. Andy.
It's ma'am. Oh, my God, dude.
I need Mother's Day off.
What the fuck is going on in the world, man? Why can't we just be cool?
Oh, man. Oh, we're cool.
I know we're cool.
It's just us, man. It's
dude,
just us.
I know. They're going to kill us. Oh, fuck.
All right. Andy, question number three.
Get serious, bro.
Yeah.
Get your game face on.
All right. Andy, I've been running my own business for about 4 years now. We offer direct farm-to-table beef and poultry. And I've been an avid listener for the last 3 years. Over the last 2 years, we have absolutely exploded in growth and are rapidly growing and looking to open our own inspected slaughterhouse. I give credit to our success to the show, 75 Hard, and my mentor, who also happens to be my father-in-law. As a mentor, he has been an open book when it comes to any and all questions I have had. I mean, it's been great considering he's built real shit in his life, 2 7-figure companies. He is now offering to help me expand, with the only requirement being a monthly expense report. My question is, should I take the additional resources or keep moving forward on my own? I know that things can get ugly with family involved, but helping local business owners isn't unheard of for him when he likes what he sees and believes in the cause. Thank you for your time and any advice on this subject.
So he's the father-in-law is going to invest?
That's what it sounds like. Okay. And all he's asking in return is just monthly expense reports.
So, yeah, well, that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That you would have to do that for any kind of debt that you would take.
Mm.
So, you know, it sounds like your father-in-law is a pretty good dude. He wants to help you grow. He's loaning you some money or giving you an investment, and he wants to know that you're not going and buying a fucking Porsche with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable.
Can we talk about a little bit, because, you know, how you started up in business was a little bit different.
Here's the thing, though. Like, it does take money to grow.
Yeah.
And when you are in a growth cycle of high growth, that sucks up all your cash when you're a small business. So I just want to unpack this for everybody listening that might be in a similar situation. It is very normal when you're growing to fucking be pissed off because you don't have any money.
Mm.
All right. And you have to understand that that's the normal process for those growth spurts that your business is going to go through. So there's two ways to look at this, all right, if you're a small business. One, you can ride it out and you can live below your means, which is what I always did, all right? We never took any debt. Still haven't took any debt, all right? Two, you could take some debt. You can get a loan. You can get a line of credit. You can get an investor, however you want to look at that. And then you can start to scale your company out. But here's the problem with that. And this is where I would caution people to be very careful. Oftentimes, when you're an inexperienced entrepreneur and you take debt, you get some sort of money invested. You're not experienced enough as an entrepreneur to know how to invest that money in the appropriate ways. And what happens a lot of times when this situation happens is that the small business takes the money and then they think that they're going to like blow the company up. So instead of realizing that to blow your company up, the first thing that you have to do is make sure that your ability to fulfill the supply, the demand mm-hmm. with your supply has to be locked tight. The second thing is your customer experience has to be locked tight. It has to be over the top, because if you scale and that customer experience goes down, the word of mouth travels so fucking fast that it will destroy your reputation. So what ends up happening to a lot of small businesses that take money is that they spend it on they get aggressive about bringing in new leads, bringing in new mm-hmm. attention, scaling the brand, but then their infrastructure can't fulfill the orders and their customer service doesn't make a great experience and people don't come back. Mm-hmm. And once they come once and they get a bad experience, they're not coming back. It's like going to a restaurant and then driving by it, you know, having the worst fucking meal ever. And then driving by it 6 months later, it says under new management. Are you going in?
No,
probably not.
No, probably
right?
Not.
So that's, The most small businesses do this backwards. And so I would caution you, if you're going to take money, that you invest the money or make sure that your ability to fulfill in a fast, quality, amazing way is there, and that your service, your fail safes, your customer service aspect of your business is locked tight. Because, dude, it's like this, okay? Imagine a bucket, okay? And you have a bucket, and the bucket has holes in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And somebody gives you $10 million, and you go buy a bunch of fucking water, and you pour it in the bucket, it comes right out the bottom,
yeah.
Okay? And the water represents your customers, okay? So you have to fucking make sure that the bottom of that bucket is solid.
And the holes are gonna be the system.
The server, yes. And the systems, the ability to fulfill, supply chain, all of this shit that people forget about. You know, we live in such a fast, you know, get rich quick mentality right now because of the bullshit that these clowns do on the fucking internet, that people don't think like this. They don't understand. If you go out and spend all this money on leads and you don't have the ability to fulfill, leads have a finite, there's a finite amount of leads, bro. Yeah. Like, as big as the world is, as big as the market is, once your reputation is your reputation, it's very hard to fix. So it's very important that you consider these things before you take money and just go spend it on marketing. Because what happens is these companies will take the money, spend it on marketing. None of the customers stay. They don't capitalize on any of the word of mouth. They don't grow their business hardly at all. And then they're saddled with that fucking debt. Okay. And this happens all the time. This happens all the time. So if you're going to take debt as a small business or an investment as a small business, however you're going to do it, make sure that your systems are good. Make sure you can fulfill the product. Make sure your customer experience is amazing. That way, when the attention comes in, they say, holy shit, dude, best meat ever. Best pork chops I ever got. Best steak I ever got. Not only that, amazing experience. It came the next day. They can't, dude, these people are fucking awesome. And that's what you want out of that investment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't want them saying the opposite, because the internet is an amazing tool. The internet will spread word of mouth instantly in a good way and also in a bad way. So you cannot make a mistake here if you're a small business. You have to do this the way I'm telling you, or you're going to fuck yourself.
Now, the pro of taking these investments or taking the capital or the loans is that you can achieve this fairly quickly, right? Because you have that money there. Now, your experience, you started, like I said, you've been doing this with no debt. It's been your own building of this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's taken 25 years to get here. Mm-hmm. So what are the pros versus cons?
Well, the pros is I own my shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I'm a very wealthy man because I never gave any of my shit away.
Yeah.
All right? That's the pros. The cons are...
It's a massive pro.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm still young because I started young. I was able to do that. If you're 40 years old and you're just getting started, time is not on your side in that way. So you might need to do it a little bit differently.
Sure.
So that's the pros. The cons are it takes a long time to do it that way.
Yeah.
Had I taken money 10 years ago, I would be where I'm at eight years ago.
Right.
You know,
right.
And sometimes I'm like, fuck, that probably would have been a smarter move. You know what I mean? But that's not the way the cards played out for me. And I've got the situation I have now, and it is what it is. But at some point, most businesses have to bring on a partner, an investor, some sort of debt. They have to scale past a certain point. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to get there. Because like I said, the growth becomes so, it consumes all of your profits. And when your growth is so great that it's consuming all of your profits and you don't have any more, then that growth will eventually stall out, right? So most companies end up at some point having to take a partner, having to do some sort of strategic partnership, having to take some debt on. And in my opinion, I think you should make that process wait as long as possible. That's only going to benefit you more and more and more, because you learn more lessons, you get better, you have better skill set. You're doing better on your own. And that way, when the money comes in, you know what the fuck to do with it.
Yeah.
Money is not the answer for small entrepreneurs, bro. I know that's the big thing right now. Raise money. But raising money, if you don't know what to do with it, is just going to crush you financially, because it's going to saddle you with all kinds of debt that you can't pay, because now your business is out of business. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just think when you're a small guy and you're just getting started, it's better to fucking bootstrap the shit as long as you possibly can. Because you need the skill set to know where you should invest that money.
Yeah.
And dude, like, you just don't know, because like this guy, he's doing it 3 years. Real talk, bro. You better listen real close to what I just said. You'll fuck yourself. I've seen it happen a gazillion times.
Yeah.
And there's people out here listening right now who are like, fuck, that happened to me.
Yeah.
So a lot of them.
That's real shit, man. I love it. Well, guys, Andy, that was three.
Yep. It's ma'am.
Yeah. Went from sleeping on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl. Fuck a stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch. Booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Does a no. Head shot.